Hello, I'm Emer Hughes and I work in Redhill Library.
Hello, good afternoon, I'm Tina Campy and I too work in Redhill Library.
One likes to eat chocolate, well I certainly do, but is there a demand for books about chocolate?
If you love chocolate, then you've got to learn about chocolate. And I don't think I've met many people that don't like chocolate, because it comes in all sorts of flavours, really, doesn't it, and forms. You know, there's white chocolate, and there's dark chocolate, and there's chocolate with bits in it. We've got fruit, and we've got nuts, and we've got honeycomb, and we've even got the sexy chili in chocolate, haven't we? Which is actually, that's an extraordinary taste. It really is quite extraordinary, and you need to do that. And then we have milk chocolate and cooking with chocolate. Yeah, there's different ways you can cook with chocolate. You make the most delicious things with chocolate, like chocolate brownies and chocolate cakes and chocolate crunches and chocolate mousse and chocolate sauce. It's just fabulous, absolutely wonderful stuff. It's magical and incredibly sensual. There's something very sexy about chocolate.
There's the cookery books, Thomasina Myers. She has her Oaxaca, Mexican food, food of Mexico at home. And that's, again, showing you how to cook chocolate, like the chocolate moles, chocolate in savoury dishes.
Chocolate savoury dishes. I've never come across those.
Well, we're starting to learn about them here, but in a way our knowledge of chocolate is backwards, because it started savoury in the Mayan culture in Mexico, and as started bitter, and it's over when it came to Europe, then we started to add sugar and milk and make it sweet. But I think that with all the cookery programs, MasterChef and all these Great British Menu and all these other programs, people are really experimenting, people are traveling, and they're learning about these chocolate. You can have chocolate mole, which is chocolate and as Tina said, chili, and you have that with a chicken dish. It's not obviously chocolate, it's not because it's bitter chocolate, but it just adds a richness, and it takes away a little of the heat, it absorbs the heat of the chili. So we've loads of cookery books here in Redhill, and then you can have all, as Tina said, all your chocolate cakes, chocolate brownies, chocolate desserts. So we have a lot of cookery books out here. And also then we have history books, which will tell you about the Mayan culture and how chocolate was found and how it was brought over to Europe.
You seem to know quite a bit about this, but is there much demand for these cookery books?
Huge demand, yeah, huge demand. A lot of our cookery books are always going out. People reserve them. Because it's so tied in, there's so many celebrity chefs and everyone has their own programme. Once there's a programme, everyone wants their book. And chocolate does, as Tina said, chocolate has not gone out of date. You get fads, things go in and out. There might be avocado is the food at the time, at the moment, but chocolate doesn't go out of date.
Chocolate does something to you inside, doesn't it? Chocolate, it speaks to you. When you eat chocolate, something happens to you inside, doesn't it? All right? It's this oozy feeling, this warm feeling, this cozy feeling, and it's just... And it's great because it's like a pheromone. It makes you, it's sensuous, you know.
Yes,
but it also has very, very good health-giving properties. I mean, and it reduces blood pressure.
So we touched on cookery books, but are there any non-fiction books other than cookery books? Or maybe even some good stories around chocolate?
Well, a non-fiction book, in a serious adult book, I think there's one called Corn, Cotton and Chocolate, and that's How the Maya Changed the World, and that's by James O'Conn. But then you've got The Chocolate Tree, which is a Mayan folktale by Lena Lowry. And then, of course, you've got the famous Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl, which is wonderful because it's... Because it was made into a film and then remade into a film, and it's just spawned a new generation, and every week we have a child coming in looking for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Oh, and then there was the book like Waterford Chocolate, in 1989, and then that was made into a film. We have a book here. Is it Twinkle Twinkle Chocolate Bar? Is that what I said? It's little. It's nursery rhymes for children. So yes, and then I think we do have some in lighter adult fiction. I suppose they're a little bit romantic. I think it's Carol Matthews does The Chocolate Lover's Club, The Chocolate Lover's Diet. I think when you even hear that title, you know there's going to be light and fun.
Everyone knows Joanne Harris's Chocolat. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, that she made, you know, chocolate very sexy, didn't she, Joanna? She really did. And it was, you know, you saw her mixing it up and whirling it round, and it, you know, the magic of chocolate, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were talking about the Mayans and inventing chocolate. Do you know much about the history of it?
I think it was about 600 AD. The Mayans, they would have been in Mexico and Guatemala and Belize, and they discovered the cocoa beans. And they thought they're very spiritual, magical culture, mm-hmm. So they believed there was magic to it. So they made it into a drink, and they made it with water, which again, going back to that Mexican book, like water for chocolate, that's where it came about. And for centuries, chocolate was made with water. And then one of the Spanish, I think it's Cortes, one of the Spanish conquerors, in the 1600s, he brought that back to Europe. But again, for quite a while, it came to London, came, you know, to Spain, to France and Belgium, but it was only used as a chocolate drink. Again, they only made it with water, then they added wine and coffee. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really till the 1800s that it actually was made into a solid chocolate shape. And it's interesting because in France, when Tina was talking about the sensuous quality of the French novel Chocolat, in the court of Louis XIV, it was seen as an aphrodisiac. Yeah. And when they did set up a chocolate shop later in the 17th century in Paris, they made rather naughty shapes from chocolate. A lot of erotic shapes, surprise, surprise. But then in London, they had their little shops and it was seen as medicinal. Mm. And it was seen as a cure-all for everything, including TB. So it came as a very different approach. And then I think eventually, we were talking about Belgian chocolate, when they set up a shop in, I think it was, again, 1857. And it was Jean Newhouse, and it was a pharmacy come shop. So again, the origins were, we seem to think we've only just discovered in modern days that chocolate's good for you, but obviously they always saw there was a medicinal quality there. So that's really how it came through from the Mayans. It was the Spanish conquerors, and there are a lot of books about the history of the Mayans and the Aztecs later on as well. So their chocolate was seen very much as not really a sweet. And then gradually over the centuries, the Mexicans started incorporating into their cooking as a savoury and mixing it with chili. So I think it's really but they don't use it as a sweet. So it's really when it came over to Europe. And I think in the 1700s, they suddenly discovered the Dutch and the English. For the drinking chocolate, they added milk and sugar and made it sweet. So it's more like the drinking chocolate we have now. Mm-hmm. And then they discovered, and I think it was Fry and Sons, they discovered they could add sugar and a cocoa paste. And again, they were doing it obviously in France and Belgium, just slightly naughtier shapes. I was telling Tina a story that Leonidas, the Belgian chocolatiers, and wonderful chocolate, they have a chocolate shop in Dublin, and they were selling, I think it was around Easter, the little boy, the famous statue of the little boy peeing in the fountain. And I walked in there, and there's all these little chocolate boys wrapped up in cellophane. So, yes. I must say, I did read yours. I gave them to friends, because just to see their faces when they opened it up.
I wonder who bought them. Easter's not far away, and chocolate is quite often associated with Easter. And talking about chocolate Easter eggs, do you know how this came about, though, the chocolate Easter egg?
Basically, since ancient times, the egg is known and has been a known symbol of fertility and new beginnings and rebirth and as Christianity spread throughout Europe, it absorbed and incorporated many pagan beliefs and customs as well. And as a symbol of new life over the time, the egg came to represent the emergence from the tomb when Jesus was crucified to his resurrection. Mm-hmm. So decorating eggs is a custom that predates Christian custom. Cultures from many parts of the world decorate eggs at different times of the year. In the 17th and 18th centuries, the idea of the egg-shaped toy, it emerged, and these were made and sold and given to children at Easter. The eggs were often filled with sweets. The first chocolate Easter eggs were likely crafted in Germany and France, as Ema has said, near the beginning of the 19th century. And the first chocolate egg in the UK is attributed to J.S. Fry from Bristol, so Fry's Chocolate Cream, mm-hmm. In 1873. And then, of course, you get your other companies, so that's your Nestle and your Terry's and your Cadbury's. They soon realised there's money to be made, and they followed suit. And, of course, the Easter egg market just bloomed, and it's taken off ever since. But it's basically, it's new life, new beginnings, new start. So that's how it's really come about. And we're still celebrating it.
Tina and Ema, thank you very much.